Greg Swan, bloodhoundblog.com. We are talking today with David Gibbons, who's coming to us live over the telephone from the Inman Connect Trade Conference in New York City. David has announcements about new product offerings from Zillow that Zillow was smart enough to wait a day and let Trulia announce first so that they can steal all of Trulia's thunder. Is that the plan, David? Was that the strategy to announce a day after Trulia so you could steal their thunder?
We don't get together with them and plan these things out, so no, it just happened this way. But we do have, you know, Lloyd is is presenting here tomorrow, and so we wanted to talk about this announcement, planned it largely around that. But no, you know, us and Trulia, we don't get together and plan press releases together, as you can imagine.
It's actually been a disastrous policy for Estately.com. Your last few software announcements where Estately will come up with something cool and they'll announce it, and the next day the blogs will all be hammered with Zillow news. So lucky for Galen Ward, Estately didn't have any huge announcements to make right now, so Zillow can't trump him.
Galen is, yeah, I bumped into him a little bit earlier. It's always good to see Galen, and I enjoy what he's doing. Greg, thanks for the time. I appreciate it. What I wanted to do, as I mentioned, is to pre-brief you on the announcement that we have coming out, and as you've informed me, you're recording this, so you know, once the embargo is lifted at midnight tonight Eastern, you can also share this information with your readers. We're pretty excited. Major announcement on the Zillow side. I'm emailing you a press release, and you will have more details by email, Greg, but the major announcement is that we've dramatically increased the number of homes on Zillow. We've added 10 million homes to the site, and we've also greatly increased the number of homes with estimates on Zillow. We now have 9 out of 10 of every home in America on the website, and so the database of all homes has continued to expand, and this is the largest expansion event since we launched Zillow. As I say, 9 out of 10 homes in the country on Zillow, but just as exciting, or probably even more exciting, is that 3 out of 4 homes in the U.S. have Zestimates on them today, I guess, when you publish this podcast, or tomorrow, talking chronologically, of course. So Zestimates, both Zestimate and home coverage have dramatically increased. And what this means for Zillow, obviously, is a lot more visitors to the site. 4 million people visit Zillow a month at this stage, and obviously we get a lot more traffic in those areas where we have a lot of properties. And then we also have a lot more traffic in those areas where we have Zestimates. Another interesting piece is that 40% of all homes that we have on the site today have been searched historically since we launched the site just about 20-odd months ago. So 4 out of 10 addresses in the U.S. have literally been typed into Zillow. So expanding our database means more people are going to get search results when they type in their address into Zillow, more people are going to see Zestimates when they type their address into Zillow. And this will bring a lot more traffic to the site. Obviously, more traffic means, for a realtor, a bigger audience to promote your listings to and to promote the services to. So, obviously, this is great news for our advertisers and should drive traffic to Zillow quite nicely. So we're definitely back to basics. We're talking about database of all homes expanding, and we're talking about Zestimate accuracy increasing. I want to talk a little bit more detail about Zestimate accuracy, Greg. We've improved Zestimate accuracy by 12%. And I want to kind of discuss how we went about that and to give you a little bit of background. Now, you know, we use proprietary statistical models to calculate our Zestimates. We use the information, or historically use information provided by the public record to calculate Zestimates. And what we're doing new is a couple of different things. Number one, we're putting a lot more computational and mathematical power and processing to calculating Zestimates, and we've increased the number of statistical models that we are running. So we are processing 8 times the number of statistical models that we were processing literally a day ago. And those models are a lot more granular in terms of how they react to trends in values on specific types of homes and also in specific geographies. So one of the major strategies in improving investment accuracy was actually to narrow down the geographies within which we, you know, develop statistical models and to use smaller and smaller areas. So those areas which have traditionally been difficult to estimate, like golf course properties, oceanfront property, etc., will all see a massive improvement in investment accuracy going forward. As I say, 12% improvement in investment accuracy across the board, across the country, that translates to a median error of 8.8%. And but that 12% is obviously made up by different improvements in different parts of the country. So in areas like Miami, for example, we've actually seen a greater than 20% improvement, and that will probably be good news to a lot of realtors in the Florida market. So Zestimate accuracy has improved through computational processing and has improved through the areas that we analyze. But I personally think the biggest news is that Zestimate accuracy is much improved on Zillow because we are now using agents and homeowners' facts to drive Zestimate.
Say that again. Agent and homeowners' what?
Home facts to drive Zestimate.
Meaning the input that you're taking from owners and listing agents when they're supplying you with data about particular homes?
What I mean is, if you list a home on Zillow today, you might have noticed every now and then the public record can be incorrect. So you list a home, and the home has, maybe they added onto the home, and when it was originally built, it had 1,500 square feet, and now it has 1,900 square feet, but the public record didn't reflect that. You can today go and correct that information on Zillow on behalf of your customer, but what you couldn't do, what it didn't do previously, was impact his estimate. And so, you know, we've had a lot of people say, you know, thanks for letting me correct the facts about my house. Thanks for letting me set the record straight. But hey, start listening to this and start improving your estimate accuracy using that information. And so that's what we're going to be doing going forward, is anytime a homeowner edits their home facts and gives us more information that we didn't have, or corrects information that was potentially wrong from the public records, or anytime that an agent lists a home and provides, obviously, with that listing, the details about the house, number of beds, baths, when it was built, square footage, etc. Every time that happens, we're going to start using that information going forward in recalculating the estimates.
Okay, what if somebody lies?
I beg yours?
What if somebody lies?
Good question. What if somebody lies? Well, obviously, in a listing scenario, you tell me what happens when somebody lies in a listing scenario.
Well, I work in an MLS, and my membership is subject to my honesty, and so...
Exactly. You know, I feel really good about this. From the perspective of homes that are for sale, there are already an incredible amount of controls out there to dissuade people from lying relating to listings. So let's take listings off the table, because I don't think it's going to happen a lot with listings. Could you lie on your own house if it's not on the market? Again, Zillow's a database of all homes, so your home was on the market before it was listed, or be on the market after it was listed. Could you lie about the number of beds and baths? Absolutely, you probably could lie about the number of beds and baths, but the thing is, you've been able to do this for more than a year on Zillow, and we've found that people don't abuse this feature. And, you know, I had Dustin tell me, well, they haven't been abusing it because they had no incentive. Well, actually, they do have incentive. Telling your neighbor that you have a bigger home than them, or that you have more bathrooms, or that you have more bedrooms, is enough of an incentive for a lot of folks, believe me. You know how sensitive people are to just knowing to our opinion of which neighborhood they live in. So the Zestimate is not the only information people are sensitive to on Zillow, and they've been able to edit this information for more than a year, and it's surprising how few instances of abuse there have been.
So you know, I simply asked the question because I knew it would be the knee-jerk reaction of someone listening to this. I am a great believer in the fundamental honesty of ordinary people, so I don't believe that they'll lie, not because there's an incentive to lie or there's no incentive to lie or because they want to go one up on their neighbors. I don't believe that most people will lie just because most people are not liars, so... I think it's probably perfectly safe, but and I understand that you have controls built in. I just wanted you to enunciate them so that someone having that reaction would know that Zillow has a plan to deal with it if somebody does come along and tell a fairy tale about 900 bedrooms and 7,000 bathrooms.
Exactly. And so there are actually two other points I want to make on that. You're absolutely right, but what if someone does lie? What if some jerk goes and puts 972 bathrooms or whatever it is? And there's two data points on that. The number one is you monkeying around with your Zestimate is not going to impact your neighbor's Zestimate. The Zestimate's the output of this calculation. We don't then take that Zestimate and use it to calculate the other Zestimates. So you could monkey with your own Zestimate, but you're not going to monkey with anybody else's Zestimate as a one. And then secondly, the extent to which you can manipulate your Zestimate is hugely constrained. And you can actually see this on Zillow. If you go and play around with the My Estimator tool on Zillow, you add bathrooms, add bedrooms. It gets to a point where you can add as many bedrooms or bathrooms as you want. The Zestimate value is not going to change, and that's because our algorithm knows that the neighborhood would never support a home of that kind of statistic. You know, if someone had to build a castle next door to me, they probably wouldn't be able to sell it.
Right.
And so the algorithm understands that principle quite well.
And in fact, this is the way a realtor would regard it also, that it is certainly possible to over-improve a home for the neighborhood, but that won't affect the resale price. That you can add a wing with seven extra bedrooms, and that may be very satisfying to you and your needs, that, you know, for use and enjoyment, it's exactly what you need. But when you go to sell it, it's going to sell like any other 4-2 in the neighborhood, because the neighborhood won't support anything other than 3- and 4-bedroom homes. Exactly. So the fact that you have an 11-bedroom home means nothing.
It means nothing.
Unless you get it rezoned commercial and then turn it into a
property, you're in trouble, and you should probably watch out. You know?
Right.
And so I do think, you know, just coming back to listings, I think that, you know, really positive news here for agents is you now can actually do something about a Zestimate that you don't like on a listing that you have. Now, I'm not going to say you can't go and put in the Zestimate value exactly how you want it to be, but most times if the Zestimate is egregiously off or wrong, it's got to do with bad data in, bad data out. And that data in is a public record. So now you can not only, you know, correct the public records, but in a lot of circumstances that will also impact the Zestimate. And I think it's something really tangible that you could do as a listing agent to add value to your sellers, especially a seller who's a little bit nervous about the Zestimate value or what the neighbor might have said about the Zestimate or something along that line.
Okay, David, now let's back up a little bit. We added 10 million homes. You started in February with 60 million. Last year you went to 70 million. This will put you at 80 million. Where did these 10 million new homes come from?
Oh, very good question. We've entered into new licensing agreements with additional data sources. And I'm not going to name names, et cetera. As I'm sure you can understand, our partnerships are part of our competitive advantage, but we've added data sources. And it's an interesting point, Greg, because now we can choose which source of information to use on kind of a geography-by-geography basis. You know, and with homeowner-edited facts on a home-by-home basis, we can decide which source of information to rely more on. So, you know, not only do these additional sources of information expand our databases by additional 10 million homes, but having the ability to choose the better source from a quality perspective on an area-by-area basis has also contributed to this 12% improvement in Zestimate accuracy countrywide.
So now at this point we're talking about proprietary sources of information as opposed to county assessor offices?
No, the original source is always county assessor offices. The original source of the public record that gets aggregated. But a company like Zillow uses an intermediary to aggregate that source of information. And so without going into too many details, rather than go to all, how many are there, 3,600 or 3,700 counties in the country and having a direct relationship with all those guys, there have actually been companies doing that historically and on selling that information as one big aggregate bundle. But what you find is the mechanism that they use in each county is more accurate or more frequently updated in some counties than other counties, which is why you do find some data providers can give you more a better quality and fresher information in some counties than the next guy. So it's typically the same source they're going to, but you know, in some areas, the one data provider is just literally working harder than the other data provider, or has a relationship with Johnny at the county recorder's office, and Johnny, you know, the minute he walks in, he slips them the data disk or whatever it is. And that's why there's some variability.
That's so funny. This is completely obscene. Are you able to, I guess let me phrase this in the form of a question. Did you meet today with Michael Wurzer of FBS Systems?
No.
Did Zillow meet with Michael Wurzer of FBS Systems?
No, I do hear that Zillow has a meeting planned with Michael Wurzer in the next day or two.
So this, nothing has happened so far. Michael Wurzer published a post last week on the Flex MLS weblog proposing that Zillow, Trulia, Yahoo, etc. Adopt some stripped-down version of the RET system as a means of communicating listings, I guess primarily so that MLS systems could feed, you know, the entire database of listings to systems like Zillow and Trulia. Do you have anything to offer, any thoughts to offer on this subject?
Well, I obviously do. I think Michael's ahead of the game. I think he's thinking along the right lines. And you know what I like about his recommendation or his proposal is the fact that it's a kind of community-driven approach that will end up driving value for everybody, both people who publish listings and people who republish listings. But you know, beyond that, I don't have much more to say. We definitely did listen to Michael's proposal. Likewise, we've had similar discussions in house. We definitely are going to talk with the Flex MLS folks, with the Rex folks. I'd like to understand better how ready Rex is for that kind of initiative. Interesting. Watch the space is all I can say.
Okay, and then also you all announced this morning that you were adding 500,000 or so listings from NCI magazine publishers. Doug Quance wrote about that on Bloodhound Blog earlier today.
Thank you.
What do you have to say about that?
Thank you. Well, you know, ever since we added the ability for people to feed listings in an automated and bulk fashion to us, we've had significant interest in that program. And that interest, interestingly enough, is coming from many different quarters. But some of the more interesting areas are aggregators of listing information who, as a value-added service for their customers, distribute that information to sites like Zillow. And that's the nature of this relationship, and we've done other similar deals. Now, obviously, at the same time, we are also getting listings information directly from brokerages, and we've got a great relationship with ERA in place. We look forward to expanding that, and we're also adding many smaller brokerages at the same time. So, you know, we're giving agents multiple options either via your brokerage or via one of these third-party aggregators to get your listings uploaded to Zillow in a bulk and automated fashion. And the program is going fantastically. So, you know, this one relationship will have a significant impact in the total number of listings on Zillow. But I've also got interest from brokers and aggregators in a queue of, in a queue of like 1,000 inquiries at this stage from folks who want to be integrated. And so I've actually got a small team of folks who are working through that backlog of work right now, adding brokers and adding aggregators. But it's exciting. Yeah, I mean, we've received feeds from far more people than we've been able to implement at this stage. But we should catch up over the course of the next month or two, and then. I'm very excited at the rate at which we're growing listings. I think it's also, you know, the industry is at a point where people really, really start to understand the strategy. There's not too many people who really get the web and really get real estate who are still walking around going, I'm going to hold on to my listings. You don't sell homes that way. And I think the current market has just been a very, very healthy reminder of that as well.
Well, certainly for sellers. Let me ask you a question. You have a broker feeding you listings, and at the same time, he has a relationship with NCI, let's say, or with Postlets or something like that, who is supplying you with aggregated listings. Do you find that you're getting conflicting data from these disparate sources?
Not conflicting data. I do find people are, I don't want to talk about specific data providers at this stage. Obviously, I don't have their data on the site, so I'm not talking about NCI. But, you know, I do find that agents do a better job of maintaining listing information in their brokerage systems than they do in their websites and aggregators. And I think that's, that's understandable, but it's also not really acceptable. If you're advertising somebody's home, you should put the same effort into it. Wherever you advertise that property, and definitely if the home's no longer for sale, it should come down from your website.
This is a good argument for doing it through the MLS.
Yeah.
One source of data spewed out in all directions. Anybody who wants to subscribe to a RETS feed from Armless, for instance, because we're getting Flex MLS and we're going to have a tremendous amount of influence on what gets done at Armless, and so we can help to move this ball down the field. That's why I'm interested in asking about it. But then at that point, there's one source of data. And if someone like Postlets wants to throw away 90% of the listing, which is completely reasonable, I mean, a flyer, for instance, has almost nothing compared to what's in the listing, whereas Zillow might want to use 50 or 60% of the listing. And obviously, an IDX system is going to use even more than that. But there's only one canonical resource, one feed, and any change is going to be in that night's feed, so that if there's a price change or something else, whatever, something changes, it's immediately reflected, or not necessarily immediately, but soon. The next question I have for you about Zillow in the listings business, because Zillow really is new to the listings business compared to Trulia or Realtor.com or whatever, what are you seeing in terms of page view activity on the actual 70 million, now 80 million addresses that you have in your database?
Without a doubt, if you list your home on Zillow, the page view activity is significantly higher. And I'm grasping at the statistic. I don't want to quote the wrong statistic, but as far as I remember, a home that's been listed on Zillow gets 200 times the number of page views than any other home on Zillow, to give you an idea. So to your point, you know, is Zillow still just a Zestimate website? Absolutely not. Are buyers using Zillow as a go-to place for inventory of available homes in their neighborhood? Absolutely, and you can tell that by the fact that the listed homes are getting significantly more traffic, as I say, 200 times more traffic than all other properties on Zillow.
Has it affected your total number of monthly unique visitors?
Difficult to say, very difficult to say, because obviously, as you know, we've gone through a slower season. In real estate websites see a slight downturn in traffic over December. That said, actually, now that you mention it, our downturn in December this year wasn't as big as the reduction in December last year, so that might have helped. I'm not too sure, Greg. It's probably too early to say. And, you know, we have 500,000 listings on Zillow today, including the Make Me Move listings, which sit at 100,000. But frankly, you know, we know that there are significantly more than that out there, and we're not going to stop until we have them on the site. So, you know, yeah, we're extremely focused on adding listings right now. Brokers should be talking to us about how they can get their listings fed to Zillow. You know, coming back to your issue about whose information is the better information, I think there's a bigger issue here, and it is to do with our relationships with brokers. So if a broker is sending us a feed, what we've done is the way the system works is we import all of the information we receive directly from brokerages ahead of the information that we receive from aggregators, and I think that should be understandable. So a listing received from ERA will get onto the site with the ERA logo attached to it in all of the search results and on the home details page, and won't be populated via the aggregator's data feed.
Okay, I'm going to go a little wider afield, because we started talking, I don't know, maybe 3 months ago about a new Zillow software release, a new major rollout in capability, and since then you guys have been dribbling out little bits of stuff here and there. Is there still a big software announcement on the horizon?
We have a lot on the horizon, and undoubtedly, and you've heard this before, undoubtedly the mortgage product is probably going to be one of the biggest pieces of news that we have in the short term in 2008. We do have a lot on the horizon. But if I'm remembering correctly, I think the announcement or the progression that I was hinting at, which I might maybe I shouldn't have been. But if I was hinting at anything, it was likely this increase in Zestimate accuracy. I can't tell you how much effort has gone into improving the statistical models and increasing our computational power around crunching this information. We had to, you know, just for this exercise, to give you an idea, we didn't just add the homes and recalculate Zestimates. We literally went back in history 10 years, and we recalculated every Zestimate on every home 10 years historically so that we could know for sure that Zestimate accuracy was improving. And the computational power that went against that was just amazing. And likewise, also the brain power that went against that. We had people spend a hell of a lot of time on that.
I might understand that 80 million records are going to change tonight in terms of representation on at Zillow.com, in other words, that if I looked at the Zestimate history on a house right now and took a snapshot of that chart, later on tonight the chart would be radically different because it would reflect this new crunching?
Correct. Absolutely. Greg, you asked the best questions of anybody I previewed.
I was wondering because I thought, you know, what you're saying to me, the trouble with anything at all like this is if you change your method, then the historical record that you have using the old method suddenly doesn't jive with the new way. And so there, I would just expect, you know, 80 million real rapid jerks in the charts reflecting the new method. So this, I think, it was very intelligent on your part. I've never had a problem with the brain power at Zillow, and you guys always do seem to think of all the crap that I could bitch about anyway.
We did absolutely go back and refresh, so we will be updating all the historicals for the 10-year period. And we did think long and hard about that. You know, we do constantly make tweaks to the algorithms. For example, we're always learning about certain kind of odd data that we need to scrub. And I don't want to just grasp at straws, but you know the type, you know, transactions that you don't need to pay attention to, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
For example, we found that counties that some counties were not coding, you know, arm's length transactions correctly. And so we built like a whole bunch of algorithms to find arm's length transactions even when they are coded as non-arm's length transactions. So, you know, if the buyer and seller is the same last name, we'll ignore that sale. And so, you know, we do this kind of stuff constantly. There's ongoing improvement to the math at Zillow. And typically we won't go back and correct the historical estimates because, you know, obviously you want to stand by your word. But literally this is such a major increase. Some homes are going to see such a major increase in accuracy of this estimate there's literally no... The historical estimates have no bearing on this new the information produced by these new models. So we thought about it long and hard. We decided that this event warranted backdating all of these estimates. As I say, you know, estimate accuracies in some regions, in some entire cities are up well over 20%, 25%. So lots of homes estimates are going to change. It was important to do the history this time. Good question, Greg.
Anything else that you
accuracy.
Want to...
I want to just throw something out there for the realtors, and it's you know, not only have we improved the accuracy, but one of the things that we did, one of the things I think that was really smart up front was Zillow decided to be very transparent about our accuracy. So we have a data accuracy page on the website, and it is always shown, you know, our accuracy looking back 10 years. The problem is, you know, that was good, that was really good information when we launched, but we need to refresh that more often. So that's been static since launch, and the page today says it's been static since launch. Another thing we're going to be doing, Greg, is we've entirely revamped that system that reports to users the accuracy. We're going to be refreshing it every 3 months. The numbers you see will be our accuracy for the last 3 months. So it literally, if you want to know how Zillow did from an accuracy perspective in the last quarter, it will be there. And so just like the market goes through its ups and downs, you will start to be able to keep track of our ups and downs, and accuracy gets better and worse from period to period. So we are going to be updating that every quarter. But we're going a little bit further. You know, today you can see on that accuracy page a number of homes in your geography that have a Zestimate value within 10% of the sale price. But you don't know how many are way off and how many are way close. You know, of that 10%, they could all be within 1%, or they could all be, you know, and the ones that don't fall within the 10% could be in a wider range. So we've added more information there as well. You can now see how many homes are within 5%, 10%, and 20% of their sale price. And I think this is really valuable information for a realtor. The listing agency really should know this. When you get into the estimate discussion with a seller, you should be able to quote in your territory the number of homes within 5%, number of homes within 20%, as a guideline for how seriously to take the estimate in that particular.
I'll give you one. I don't know that you'll do it, but I'll give you an idea here, and that's to do it house by house. That when the house records, when the transaction records, there's a sale price associated with it, and Zillow, you know, obviously you're not going to find out about it for a couple of months, but Zillow is going to have a day by day record of the Zestimate of that house. And so the day of recordation, when you finally find it out, compare that to the Zestimate number and then put that in the file for that house. Last sale was $220,000. Zestimate at the time of last sale was $217,000. And then over time, neighborhoods will, you know, literally the agent can go house by house. And when they're talking about the Zestimate with a buyer or with a seller, the agent can go through house by house and show the track record of Zillow in that particular neighborhood.
Greg, that's absolutely brilliant. I hadn't actually heard that suggestion before now. It's a fantastic suggestion. It makes perfect sense. You know, we show the sales history. We show every date on which it's sold. We show the price at which it's sold. We would absolutely be able to put the Zestimate on date of sale. That is a fantastic suggestion, though. You know, if you look at this nationwide now, so we have a lot more interesting data, and I encourage you tomorrow morning to go and look at these stats in Phoenix. But nationwide, number of homes within 5% of Zestimate, I was particularly impressed by this number. Literally a third, 32% of all homes nationwide sales are within 5% of Zestimate. Within 10% of Zestimate, 54% of homes. And then within 20% of Zestimate, 77% of homes. So, you know, a lot of people consider within 5% a very reliable accuracy, but we're also being really open about the number of homes that are greater than 20% accuracy variance from Zestimate.
I've given you a lot of grief about this, and no doubt I will again, but I will tell you that my expectation would be that if you're 20% off, in general, it's either going to be a very high-dollar home or a very low-dollar home. And on a very high-dollar home, no one is going to stop at the Zestimate. The due diligence is going to be a lot more rigorous than that. And on a very low-dollar home, you know, we're now talking about it, you know, we're fighting over $20,000 or we're fighting over $10,000. At that point, there's a point at which, for instance, during the State of Arizona versus Zillow battle, it was obvious to me that the purpose of that was to force for sale by owner sellers to pay for appraisals whether they wanted them or not. And there are certainly a vast range of transactions where the parties could certainly agree to go with the Zestimate and screw it, because what we're talking about is a piece of dirt in rural Arizona that I'm selling for $3,500 anyway. And so now I'm going to spend $350 to have it appraised, 10% of the value of the home to have it appraised. No, I'll go with the Zestimate. It's fine. You know, we'll take the Zestimate and we'll go to one of your competitors, and then we'll flip a coin to decide which, or we'll split the difference or whatever. But there are a vast number of properties in America. I mean, let's face it, the town that I grew up in, Danville, Illinois, the median value is $60,000, half above, half below. You can buy, I don't know, 5,000-6,000 homes for less than $20,000. At $20,000, a $350 appraisal is not worth it to me.
The point you just made, actually, the nice thing is, it's definitely more of a problem on the high end than it is on the low end. And the reason for that is that there's a limit to the low end, right? There's no limit to the high end. And so there's a lot more variation on the high end. And so prices become a lot more dispersed on the high end. Whereas on the low end, even though these numbers are low, there's a lot of homes with low numbers. So, yes, you're absolutely right, Greg, but it's definitely more of a problem on the high end than it is on the low end.
And on the high end, it's not a problem anyway, because no one's going to rely on his estimate. They may use this estimate to fight with. That was one that came up very early on, was someone attempting to use his estimate to lowball a home. And I'm just laughing at this, because if they didn't have this estimate, they'd have something else. They would claim that there was a dead cat in the sewer, or there's no end of things that you can use as a pretext for making the lowball offer. So, and on $1 million home or $2 million home, nobody is going to stop at this estimate. They're, at that point, a $350 appraisal or two or three appraisals is a bargain. So,
but I also come back to this point that we are now we're now building our models in much smaller geographies than we were previously, and we're also throwing a lot more potential models at any one particular house. So, you know, I'm not gonna make any great promises about Bill Gates' Zestimate getting better, but I do encourage you to go and have a look at the high value properties, go and have a look at the coastal properties, go and have a look at the golf course properties. And I think you will see some improvements. I think you'll be happy to see.
Well, this is one of the things that I've been looking for, because I did think, you know, obviously I don't pay attention to Bill Gates' house or oceanfront properties or anything like that, because I don't live there. But I did think until now that your your range of comparables, your geographical range of comparables was way too large, that you were just casting too wide a net, and so you were ending up with numbers all over the map, that for, you know, a $500,000 home, you were looking from 200 to 700, and it was just too...
Yeah, you know, that I should have actually mentioned that earlier. There's definitely other knock-on benefits. Comparables would be one of them. The comparables list is definitely more accurate with this list. Another one with this release, another one is the value range. You know, I'm the guy who's always championing the value range. Anytime someone says my home's not worth what it says here, I say, well, yeah, we agree. It's worth something between these two numbers. And so what you'll see is the value range has always responded pretty well to our accuracy in the territory. It's going to be a lot better at responding to our accuracy on the home with this release. So really, I do encourage realtors who get to discussing estimates with their clients to also pay some attention to the value range. The narrower value range really are the estimates we feel good about. And if the value range is $250,000 on a $500,000 home, well, you know, that's our message to you, that we don't have a lot of great information in that area.
When will these changes go online?
We're busy rolling them out as we speak, actually. Software's being deployed. I think the Zillow website will probably come down in the next half hour or so, and if it's not down already, I'm not online. So all of this is going on as we speak this evening, and should be completed by midnight this evening, midnight Eastern time this evening. So tomorrow going forward, news estimate accuracy tables, etc.
Okay. If I can get online, I'll pull some houses now and then compare them later, but if I don't get it, I don't get it.
I expect that of you.
It's just, you know, it's just a way of seeing the difference and a way of illustrating the difference. David, anything else you want to add?
No, that's it from my side. Thanks so much for the time. I appreciate it.
No, and you are fantastic. I do appreciate you giving me all this information and putting up with all my niggling little questions. So bless you. Thank you for making the time. And now you can go have dinner and have a drink and have some fun. Probably not. You're working tonight, no doubt.
Thank
yes.
you, Greg. I appreciate it. I will actually throw one more thing out. There is more Zillow news coming out. It's unrelated to what I've just discussed with you now. Coming out tomorrow morning, we have another announcement coming out tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. So please watch our blog. It's been a busy week for us. I can't go into details, unfortunately, about that topic because it has to do, well, the nature of that particular announcement has to do with partnerships, and so we've agreed with our partners not to talk out of school. But, yeah, check out the blog tomorrow morning, 8 a.m.
Okay, and I will tell you that if I happen to discover anything by means unrelated to you, then I'm going to reveal them, so.
You're a reporter, Greg.
No, I'm not. I don't like reporters. Reporters are off drinking. I'm going to be working from now until midnight on all the crap that you just gave me. So and then I'll worry about eating and drinking.
Speaking of which, also check your email. I'm sending you the press release related to everything we discussed now as well.
Excellent. Excellent.
Thanks, Greg. Hey, lastly, how's Kathleen doing?
She's way better. She's actually she's at Mayo right now with her mother, but she's going to be working in Goodyear later today, and she's 100%. So, yeah, bless you. Thank you for asking.
Excellent to hear. Please give her my regards.
You bet.
Good stuff.
All right, bless you, sir. Thank you.
Good to have you at Inman. Let me ask you a question. When are you going to attend an Inman conference?
My take is, you know, at this point they're going to pay me. I mean, I'm not really interested in getting paid, but I'm not really interested in coming either. And when we do Bloodhound Blog Unchained in May, we will blow you away with the amount of content that you're going to get in the conference. Whatever happens in the halls is extra. But I keep hearing people say, oh, everything I get from Inman, I get in the halls. Well, then you're wasting your time because you could do that online. You could do it by email. We're going to give you a tremendous amount of content, things that you have never anticipated.
That sounds awesome. Don't discount the networking piece, though. I must say I'm looking forward to shaking your hand.
Well, bless you. Thank you. You're very sweet.
Well, it would be great if you were here.
Thank you.
Good speaking with you, Greg.
All right. Thanks a lot. Have a good evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.